At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Don't know if you caught that little bit before the jingle kicked in, but Paul Fontaine alongside Jeff Hawkins here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel on X. And if you're listening on the Fight Game Media free feed on Thursday morning. Yeah, we're off to a rip-roaring start. Grand Slam Dynamite today. And it was a good show. I mean, it was a lot of wrestling, if that's what you like. And not a lot of interviews or promos or video packages. Hey, did you know?
I think you're gonna find the discourse wildly divergent on this one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, after the fact, because I think the people who are the hardcore AEW fans are gonna be very, very happy with this show and are going to be going, yes, that's what they should be doing every week.
Yeah. And then others
were like, yeah, there's a lot of good matches.
Did you stick around at the very, very end when, you know, after Danielson made his challenge and the music was playing and there were little graphics on the corner of the screen telling you what was coming up? And Excalibur normally will read these, but this time he didn't. Did you stick around and watch all that?
What did I miss? Because I can't remember that.
The very last thing they showed before they went off the air. And it was never mentioned once on the whole show. Next week, in Pittsburgh, in her hometown, Britt Baker returns against Serena Deeb. Now, they did announce this on Collision, to be fair. But I will say, if a star at the level of Britt Baker in AEW, and she's pretty high up on the food chain in terms of the women for sure, and really overall in the company, is returning in her hometown, former world champion, I would think if it was in WWE, they might have aired a video package. They might have showed the last time she was in Pittsburgh and they gave her the key to the city and, you know, all this stuff and told people to come and wear your Britsburg shirt, everything. None of that.
There might be some issues there.
Perhaps, or they were just too busy with their show they had tonight, which is, I think it might.
It could be either one of those.
Yes. I think you might be right on the first one.
I think so too. Yes, I made a joke today.
Jeff had one of his best tweets today with the put Diddy in Suge's cell block.
Suge's cell block. Suge Knight.
Sugar. Yes. Matthew, we're gonna do this. Can we enjoy the terrible booking? Enjoy what
okay.
A great
show this was. Okay, so or I'm not the only one. Part. I'm not the only one who was a little bit all right, that's an interesting choice that was made.
And after a good match in the main event, and then also that first match, we're going to talk about that though. Matt, we're not ignoring what happened after the opener. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You could fast forward. Oh no, you're watching live. But we can't ignore that. But before we talk,
are you saying the terrible booking was all in the first match?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to say terrible booking. That's probably the wrong word.
I don't even think it was terrible booking. I think it was
angle.
It was confusing booking in some respects. Yeah. In some of those matches.
Stupid angle that I wish would never happen.
Let me give you an example. I thought we'd be starting off this show, or at least part of the headline would be going in, pondering whether or not AEW is going to be making a bit of a brand change here, and how Darby Allin might work as a potential world champion.
We talked about this last week.
I thought
for sure he was going to beat Moxley and beat Danielson.
Yes.
And
we thought this was a push for the new, but we are back to the mean.
Our friend, who we are normally in pretty good lockstep with, I would think, in terms of booking and way things are going, Jason, right? He'll probably be watching later if he's not right now. He said in our Discord and Fight Game Media, gg@fightgamemedia.com, if you want to get on the Discord, just send him an email. He said this was the only choice. Moxley winning.
Wrong.
And like I said, Jason's a smart guy.
I mean, look, it seemed the stronger choice, at least, especially, I guess now we get to find out why Mox and everybody turned on Danielson four weeks in this. That'll be nice.
I don't know. We still don't know. I mean, other than he wanted the belt, I guess. I don't know. But I just thought it would have made a lot of sense, you know, especially if Danielson's leaving for a while, which we assume he is, to have that match in Tacoma and put him over. And he's a new face of the company. And he'd be a great champion because we'd go into every match thinking he could lose. Which is, I like those kind of champions, but yeah, that's something.
Yeah. Win.
So, before we do that, you had brought up something in our little pre-show chat about a comment the Young Bucks made, and I had missed this. I guess it was on X.
And I can't. It was a tweeted article with a snippet in there. So take this with a grain of salt as well. But I can't remember who interviewed the Bucks, but they said that they missed the competition on Wednesdays because they thought that the competition made them stronger and that competition between two companies on the same night makes each the other stronger. And I kind of bristled at this a little bit. I wasn't sure if it was genuine wistfulness for the days of competition because I'm like, I took a little bit of heat on the Twitter, on the X, which is my it seems to be my go-to, but it was one of those things where it's like, well, if you like competition so much, there's competition on Monday if you want it.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was also one of those things. And my point was, well, it's easy to say you missed the competition when you never lost the competition, when NXT was the Washington Generals to your Harlem Globetrotters. And my takeaway from this, from talking to AEW fans who were arguing with me, was they want it kind of both ways. They want to spike the football when they beat NXT, and they want to complain when NXT decides to load up with main roster guys, but they still want to compare the work rate and the overall product to the main WWE. It's kind of all encompassing. We want it all kind of thing. And I get that. If you're an AEW fan, if you're an AEW fanatic, you want your team to win. It's tribalism of it. I get it. You seem to think that they're right on this. And I hated NXT during this time period for the most part, especially the 2.0.
The 2.0 era. I thought when it first started and it was, you know, that Adam
Cole. So remind me, what was going on when it first started?
Well, you had Adam Cole as the champion. You had DIY was still there. You had the ascent of Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
Stuff like that. And I thought like the two shows going against each other made both shows better. And when they made the move to 2.0, obviously it got a lot worse. And then WWE ended up turning their tail and running and went to Tuesday nights. And I said before it happened, and I said this on this show, I had a famous argument with Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live about it. And Brian thought I was nuts. And I said, within a month, NXT will be down in viewership from what they were doing head to head with AEW. And AEW at best will be the same and maybe even will be down a bit. And I turned out I was right on both. And if you look at the combined audience of both shows, they were better when they were on at the same time.
And I like your theory because of this, because it's one of those things where, and I'll let you get into it, but it's like, well, maybe that was just the wrestling night for people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like now it's two nights. So now you're going to pick and choose. Okay. I'm going to either watch AEW or I'm going to watch NXT. I'm not watching both. But if they're both on the same night, you might choose to watch both and either record one and then watch it after or go back and forth between the two. Or, you know, like we used to do back in the day with Nitro and Raw, you know, you would go back and forth. And if something looked good, you would watch that. You'd have the VCR tape.
The thing I would do if I was home Mondays, because it wasn't a lot, you watch one feed because Nitro would always repeat. They'd always do an East Coast and a West Coast thing. So you could watch Raw or you could watch Nitro or most of it, catch Raw, and then go back and watch the, you know, whatever Nitro you missed.
Yeah. Cyclops here agrees with you. Cyclops is better than Wolverine is his actual name. AEW fans love saying AEW's competition, but cries as soon as WWE treat them like real competition. It's the hypocrisy I hate most.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and I understand why AEW fans are prone to that. And you know, it's not a contest. I just tend to think it's one of those things where it's like you have two strong products and just go do your thing type of a thing.
So when did they move? When I got to check out Matt's stats here. Was it in 2021 or 22 that they moved?
I would say 21, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it was 21. Okay. So Matt's comment is right here. I'll put it up on the screen. He thinks I'm remembering wrong. Dynamite's biggest jump in viewership was when NXT left. So they did go up, but then they went down.
Yes.
About a month later, which is what I said would happen, because May 28th, they hit 526,000. Then they did 462, 487, 551, 649. Back up to 883 on June 30th, which is when I believe they started the live touring again after the pandemic. So they had a big bump when they did that. Then I think CM Punk debuted, and that's when they had their huge hit. They had between July 14th and October 6th, they had 4, 7, 10, 11 out of 13 weeks. They were over a million. And 2 weeks in there were 979 and 975. So basically over 975 for 13 straight weeks. Then October 16th, the NBA started and they were down. And they never hit those heights again. Yeah, okay. It did take a little bit longer than what I said. NXT definitely went down. Within a month, they were down. The reason I know this
is because they've built back up. So good for them.
It was when NXT moved, but that didn't last long. And I think and you got other stuff in there too. Like people are forgetting the fact that we went from taping all those shows in Jacksonville to the live touring, and that was a bump. And then when WWE started doing it later that year, they got a bump too. So there's a lot of things going on at that time. But regardless, I agree with the Bucks that the shows were better when they had competition, because I think Tony lived for that stuff. I think he was watching the other show and he was counter programming and he was doing stuff on the fly. And that makes for a fun show to watch. It really does.
A show on the fly makes it fun to watch? No, it doesn't.
I liked Crash TV.
I hate Crash TV. Okay. I want planning. I want planning and I want scripting and I want things to make sense. And
that's what Collision's for. No. But yeah, so interesting talking point. I kind of like that.
Okay.
So we had not much else to talk about. We're not going to talk about the McMahon doc here.
I was impressed by the tickets moving for Grand Slam.
Yeah. So about that, let me see. What
Mercedes did a whole lot of media junkets.
Oh, yeah. Because she was all over this show.
She did the Breakfast Club. She did, which is Charlamagne the God show.
So they ended up at 8,191. Yeah. And I want to say like last week when we went off the air, I think they were at like maybe $5,000, maybe a little bit less than that.
Yes.
So yeah, they moved over 3,000 tickets in the last week. Now, what? A couple things to remember. The late counts always include comps. They papered. They definitely papered. But they sold tickets. We're not going to say they didn't.
Yeah.
But they also dropped the tickets. They were $25 to get in and $50 for floor.
And it's still a reduction from last year's 11,000. So
it is. But you know what? 8,000 fans. It was good.
Yeah.
I would say the audience, like the atmosphere in the building, was down from the previous 2 years. But it was still a good show to watch. Yes. 8,000 people, there's nothing wrong with that. You got 8,000 in the building, you're doing fine. And I don't care. They could have given every single one of the tickets away. And as long as the people are into the show, I'm enjoying it. Now, there was parts of the show that they weren't as into, but in the big stuff, they were really into it and they added to it. There were times, though, when their lack of reaction hurt matches, and we'll talk about that in the show. So they start this show off. Nigel McGuinness comes out. So they're going right to Nigel and Brian Danielson. I'm like, okay, great. But of course, they can't just do the match. They have to have Nigel come out. They play Danielson's music, not Final Countdown, which Nigel promised us. No, I don't know. Can anyone tell me? Maybe you know, Jeff. Did he come? Did Oasis
play him out? I hate Oasis, so I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure they didn't play him out, though.
I don't think, no. And I don't think
he said they would.
Brian Alvarez. He's a heel. They lie.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But anyways, so Brian Danielson's music, his regular, Flight of the Valkyries kind of techno remix plays, and he doesn't come out. And I think they might have played it again. And he still didn't come out. And then Nigel does a speech. He says, I want him stripped of the title. I want the ref to do a 10 count and declare me the winner. And then at 6, Final Countdown hits and Bryan Danielson comes out. And I'm just like rolling my eyes. I'm like, you know, you wasted like 3 or 4 minutes here. We could have just gone to the match.
Jonathan Messenger says that, yes, it was Oasis that was okay. Nigel's entrance song. So good. Okay, oh. Cool.
Yeah.
So Tony chalked up the ASCAP fees.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, like I said, I don't recognize that song. So I don't, I watch the Nigel McGuinness matches in ROH, the entrances were cut out. So,
okay, cool.
I always, for some reason, I thought he had the Clash at like for some, you know, I don't know if he used that song the whole time or if he had a different song at some point, but I thought for some reason he used like London Calling.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. But whatever. Doesn't matter. And yeah. So, anyways, eventually they get to the match. And I should also point out during all this, Nigel pointed out in his speech, the announcer said, nobody's seen Danielson all day and nobody knows if he's cleared, which is weird. You would think that Tony Khan would probably be the first one to know and he might tell the announcers, but maybe he wanted them surprised as the fans, you know, if we're playing along. Anyways, match starts. First thing I noticed, JR's in commentary and I thought he sounded really good. I thought he had a good night tonight. I didn't notice any mistakes.
He got to take a nap in between two matches.
He did. Between two, I think it was from the main event to the, like from the opener to the main event. I don't think he was.
Yes. In anything. Well, I meant he called two matches. So he got to take a nap in between, but yeah, he was fresh.
Yeah.
Commentary was pretty good all night. I had a bit of an issue with commentary on this first match though.
Well, there's too many people in the booth.
Well, not just that, but you know, stop telling me I'm watching a great match / a classic match and just call the match and then let me judge it.
Yeah, it was
a was a little overselling on.
Well,
on how
yeah, I did
great. The match was
about that. Excalibur claimed at one point that Nigel and Danielson's battles from ROH carried them from a regional promotion to a national touring company.
Yeah, slow
I think
down.
He's remembering a little wrong because CM Punk and Samoa Joe had a little bit to do with that as well.
Well, technically, HDNet is also national, so.
True, but that was after they were already big by the time they got on HDNet. But I'm saying, like,
they were mostly a DVD company for me.
I'm saying the Punk Joe stuff did more than the Danielson, stuff.
Yes,
that's all I'm saying. Tony Schiavone claimed he'd watched all of the Nigel and Danielson matches and they were all great. I don't believe him, I'll just say that. Danielson's neck and back were all taped up. Crowd wasn't really into this, which was too bad at the beginning because Nigel was on offense and they didn't really recognize his moves. And he was doing setups for like his traditional moves and people weren't reacting because they didn't really know them. So I'm sure like watching on TV, if you're a fan of Nigel and you remember these matches or maybe you saw them recently because AW put them up, maybe you popped, you know, watching on TV. And I like to see Nigel's upside down clothesline that he hit and he got a nice Danielson kicked out of one after that. I noted someone had a Nigel stick to commentating sign. I thought that was funny. Nigel used Danielson's elbows to the head at one point. Then he hit a Tower of London, which is a basically a cutter off the top rope with the guy reversed. And Bryan kicked out two from that. Bryan got in his own elbows of doom, but he didn't cover. Then Nigel tried to hit the lariat off the ropes again. And Danielson countered with one of his own. And that got a near fall. Nigel fell after that in perfect position for a LaBelle lock. And Danielson struggled to get it on, finally got it on. And then he secured the position a little bit better. And then right before Nigel tapped, he said, thank you. And then
he didn't say thank you.
Oh, he said, fuck you. Okay. They were covering for him, were they?
Yes, they were.
There were spots in this in all night. I don't know if you noticed this, where the audio would cut out like for like a second.
They knew where the swear words were.
Driving me nuts.
No, but that was, you know, that was pre-planned swear word.
Okay. So I honestly thought he said thank you and was showing respect, but okay.
No.
I bought what they were selling. But I just want to say, I'll let you say, the one thing I really liked about the LaBelle lock though, getting the finish there, because he started using that move after Nigel retired. So this would be a move that Nigel wasn't prepared for. If they're going off their previous matches. So I kind of like that. I thought that was good storytelling, but you go ahead.
Yeah, no, I liked the match. I thought Bryan did very well with, like, to me, Nigel's never been a top tier worker, I guess, from what I've seen, but he's always been a great character and a good worker. And I thought for the level of wrestling he's done 15 years, he was quite good. And Brian carried him a bit. There's a couple things like when he was holding the arm there, waiting for Brian to get the lapel lock on there. I thought Brian missed that cue a little bit.
Yeah.
He's just sticking it in there. That said, the thing that I really, really liked about this match was that Nigel never got the babyface moment of retired heels coming out of retirement, where they're starting to chant, "You still got it."
Yep.
And you know, and he can do all that. He always was kind of a coward, a heel.
But you know why that is, though, right? These people didn't know him at all.
Fair.
That's
fair, but he never got that moment of the standing ovation after a bunch of great offense where he's basically doing a babyface shine.
Let me ask you this. Let's say this was Wade Barrett, that his contract with WWE expired and he shows up in ROH and he wants a match with Bryan Danielson, and we're going to call back to the NXT angle. What kind of heat do you think Wade Barrett would have against Bryan Danielson?
I don't think people remember Wade Barrett's offense.
I think they remember Wade Barrett a hell of a lot more than they remember Nigel.
Yes, I think so too, but it was a bigger stage. Yeah. It's kind of unfair to compare the two.
Matt has a good point here. Nigel looked remarkably relaxed considering it's his second match in
decades.
Plus, most guys in that situation get nervous, instantly gas. Absolutely. No, Nigel was great. Like, Nigel looked like a regular.
Nigel had a very, very, I use this not as a pejorative, very odd confidence about him.
Yeah, but I will say, like, he fits, but he doesn't fit as a main eventer.
No.
He fits as a guy on the card.
He's great to do about every other pay-per-view, I think.
Yeah. And you know what? He can hold a title. I wouldn't give him a world title, but he could hold like a TNT title or, you know, the ROH title for sure. He could absolutely be the ROH champion again.
You could do a story after that. I mean, this is very much a Terry Funk type story from NWA. Yeah. From
him and Mark Briscoe headlining an ROH pay-per-view. Sign me up, baby.
I'd be fine with that.
I would love that. I would love that. Oh, my God. I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transferring heat says he was the guy from the NXT. I don't even think that. Like he was on NXT UK. Nobody watched that.
He was no. I think to these fans, he was Nigel McGuinness, the guy from ROH
and from Collision. They probably know him from Collision.
And also, but it's also one of those things where it's like, he was really good in ROH. What's your favorite match of his? Mm. He did a lot of those matches with Bryan Danielson. Okay, do you remember him? No.
Somebody asked me this, other than Bryan Danielson, because I am an ROH historian, what are some of the great matches that he had? And the ones I remembered, and if you want to Google these and watch them, he had a great match with Morishima, Roderick Strong. They had great matches together, a few of them. And I want to say, Austin Aries, I think. Yes, they had a great feud with. Right. But those ones are harder to find because they were on HDNet. I think they had a pay-per-view match.
Nigel McGuinness is the indie band that everybody says that they've heard of, but they can't name a song.
Yeah, like
that's who he was tonight.
Yeah, he's The Cure. Did you? Somebody had a thing on Twitter yesterday, and a lot of people were quote tweeting it, and it was because of the quote from Darby where he said that WWE is Taylor Swift and AEW is Slayer.
Okay.
And so this guy, fill in the blanks. WWE is this band and AEW is that band. And mine was WWE is U2 and AEW is The Cure.
All right.
The other one I had was AEW is the Spice Girls and WWE is the Spice Girls and AEW is the Cranberries.
I like the Taylor Swift comparison because
nobody gives a rat's ass about Slayer.
well, no, but also, you know, even though there's for her pop phase, there's a lot of songwriters involved. Nobody gives her any credit for the songwriting that she's done. And nobody gives WWE any credit for the people that they, you know, for people like in there that can wrestle.
AW is Slayer doing covers of Taylor Swift songs.
Nobody likes Slayer ever.
We'll get to this, Matt, but yeah. Speaking of Roderick Strong, him putting over Hook was a tragedy. Watch this man have a five-star match with Davey Richards. Roderick Strong was the man in ROH from like 2009 to about 2015.
He was one of my favorite things about PWG when I'd go to the shows.
Yeah, I didn't. Sadly, I have never
seen that. No, but I mean, just the heel he would get. Yeah. I didn't care about his matches so much, although the matches were awesome too. But just the fact that his heat was nuclear in that building.
Yeah. Okay, so we spent a good amount of time talking about how good this match was. Not great, but very, very good. And we enjoyed it. And Nigel looked great. And Danielson won. And then Christian's music hits. He wanders out with his contract.
F this angle.
He grabs a pen and makes a big dramatic thing of about to sign it. Meanwhile, they're doing a wide shot. So you can see Kip Sabian sneaking up from behind. And you know exactly what's going to happen. Even though you're thinking, no, God, no, no, no. Yep. He grabs the pen out of his hand and takes off to the back. And so Christian can't sign his contract. He can't take advantage of Danielson, who is just fine anyways. So, you know, it doesn't matter. So Christian chases him to the back. And who should he run into? But Claudio and Pac just standing in the gorilla position for God knows what reason. And there's a dramatic...
Oh, you know the reason.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. They're going to protect the title shot from going to any or from going to anybody except Moxley.
Okay, whatever.
But this
he didn't need protection.
Yeah, well, just in case.
I guess the only pin in the building Kip Sabian has.
So. Nevertheless, this is just as dumb as the whoever holds the briefcase.
Yes.
Gets the title shot as opposed to. The person running down to the ring, asking
to cash in, but the ref hasn't rung the bell yet.
Are you sure? No, I just ran down here with a stupid briefcase to say hello to people. Thing. Yes, I'm sure. I have turned it in. I have told you I want my match. Now it's, he has to sign the contract in order for it to be official. It's just...
So, and my great booking.
I hated this.
But it was only a couple seconds. So we'll
and
just.
Kip Sabian is brings nothing.
Nothing. To less this than table. Nothing.
I mean, in terms of this feud and stuff, which is basically making fun of his father dying. I am so done with this. Let's move on.
Does anyone believe that Kip is going to get anything on Christian? Like anything?
Not now that Miro's gone. No.
Yeah. Oh my God. Next up, Hook versus Roderick Strong. And in case you didn't know, Matt obviously spoiled the result of this one. But
thanks a lot, Matt.
Doesn't matter because we all knew what was going to happen. But I want to say, okay, so they have this match, Hook and Roddy Strong. And Roddy's out there with his two buddies, the Kingdom. And at the beginning of the match, Hook is just beating the shit out of all three of them with a kendo stick, suplexing them all to hell. These guys are like bumbling fools. Then Roddy tossed him into a ring post going into break. We come back from the break. Crowd is dead. Roddy props a chair in the corner, smashes Hook into it. Then he hits a backbreaker for two. Hook hits a judo throw onto two chairs for two. Gutbuster by Roddy on a chair. Then he hit the sick kick, which Excalibur didn't call. That made me very sad. And that got two. And then Hook just got the red rum for the win. I should point out that while he had the red rum on, Matt Taven and Michael Bennett just standing there at ringside, just come on, Roddy, get out. They don't run in. There's no rules. There's no reason they couldn't have run in.
That's true. There are no rules. Why are they?
These guys are buffoons. Like, but then after the match, Roddy shakes his hand. Matt shakes his hand. Michael Bennett shakes his hand. They leave. I guess that's a babyface turn. I don't know.
It's a Ring of Honor thing in New York.
You know, I think it's a Ring of Honor thing. They're going to Ring of Honor. We ain't going to be seeing them for a while. That's what I think.
Not going to work here anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but so clean win. He looked great. And then so that was that. Anything else to add to the match before we get to the post-match?
I thought Roddy did a good job of carrying the kid.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was good. Like, not as good as Danielson, Nigel, better than Tony and or Mariah. And
Hook should be much better by now.
Who, Hook? Yeah, I know.
Yes.
So I got a theory about this ending, and maybe he'll get better if my theory is right.
Okay.
So Tony Schiavone grabs a mic and he interviews Hook. And he says, in 1998, that title you're holding was borne by Taz just 3 miles from here at the Elks Lodge. And then Hook thanked him and he said, all good things must come to an end. And I'm thinking, oh, on behalf of my family, I want to thank every wrestler who competed for this championship right here. I'd like to thank each and every fan for supporting the FTW championship. We get mild applause for that. And for now, in this very moment, the FTW championship is officially retired. That got a big pop. Like, we don't have to watch these matches anymore.
Dude, it got a big pop from me. You know that scene in Die Hard when they open the safe for the Verabonds and the Hallelujah chorus comes up? That was me. Because AEW is getting rid of a belt. Oh, awesome. Oh, we are blessed today.
He handed the belt to Taz. It was a beautiful moment. They hugged. Taz is crying. And I speculated, could this be the last of Hook in AEW? We'd heard some rumors that his contract was coming up. And maybe, you know, and if that was, I mean, this would be a nice way to send him off. Honestly, like, unlike a wrestling company.
I was actually expecting this to get interrupted by either Hobbs or Starks.
Do you think anybody gives a shit about that belt?
No, but
yeah,
I thought that would be the reintroduction for one of the, because when they kept talking about all the people who used to hold this. And so I thought that was going to be an intro for one of the returning guys, but no, I was incorrect. I'm happy they're doing this. Hey, if folks off to other things, I mean, look, Layla Gray just entered the New Japan Dojo.
Okay.
She's going to be killing some people soon.
The other thing is maybe he's not done. Maybe he goes to New Japan on excursion or, you know, even New Japan Strong.
He needs a change of scenery. He needs some other training.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
No offense to his father.
There's something there. The promo he cut wasn't bad. I thought it was one of the better ones he's cut, honestly.
He needs to gain a little bit of weight. He needs to fill out a little bit, and he needs a different set of offense and for his body.
That isn't code for steroids. It's
just I am not saying steroids at all. I am saying heavy weights of some kind.
Are we sure Tony isn't in prison or something? AEW reducing the amount of belts? Something is wrong.
Oh no, they'll introduce a new one. Come on. Well, you know, we've got rid of this FTW belt.
Yeah, we'll have the
Western States Heritage title is coming.
Please, okay, that's one belt I wouldn't mind seeing back. Speaking of belts,
like the Zabisco and Wyndham feuds.
Speaking of belts, we had a match. Oh boy, did we have a match! Kyle Ospreay. I fucked up already. Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay against the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team titles. Now, I will say one thing about this match. I think this match should have happened next week. This would have been a perfect match as a main event for the 5th anniversary show, honestly, because this match is AEW. Like, this match is by AEW for AEW, and this is like showcasing. I'm sure Tony Khan, when he dreamed up the idea of AEW, he pictured a match like this to happen on one of his big shows in a stadium in New York. Like, you know, we're going to do this match. And oh my God, did they have a match? These guys went nuts. Will Ospreay was out of his freaking mind in this match, just doing anything he could. The Bucks were not half-assing it like they've been doing a lot lately. They weren't the Bucks like of PWG or even early AW, but they were there for everything Will did and Kyle as well. But it was mostly Will.
I thought they fit in fairly well with early AEW Bucks.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't so much them on offense is all. Like, you know,
were those light bulbs in his hair, by the way?
I thought they were like, I don't know.
I was expecting there's gonna be a spot where the lights went out and his hair would start glowing.
I thought they were like braids or something. I don't know. But they were like at the first I thought, okay, Will was working a lot of the match, and I almost thought they were doing something where Kyle was like not even gonna tag in or something, and then at the end he was, you know, gonna play. But no, they ended up, you know, they did a lot of double team. I wrote down a shit ton of stuff here.
Selling was kind of optional on this one too. I mean, I enjoyed don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the match, but there was no selling of any moves. It was just
moves. So though in particular, there was a spot where did I want to find it here? Oh, so they hit a TK driver on the apron, the Bucks did, and Kyle's dead. And they rolled him out of the ring for the count out, and he comes right back in at 10, and he just looks completely out of it. Matt hit him with a PK kick, and I'm like, oh, this match is like done, or Will's going to break it up or whatever. He doesn't even cover, and Excalibur pitches to break. And I'm like
picture in picture, keep watching. Yeah,
you killed this guy. They go to back from break. They come back from break. Kyle's fine. And they do stereo Styles clashes on the Bucks for two. He tags in Will, hits a hidden blade on Matt. Stormbreaker, but Nick breaks up the pin. Fans are chanting, this is awesome. Yeah. Will set up the Tiger Driver. So he'll just hit that on anybody now. Now that he's hit it on, but he didn't hit it. He hit a super kick. Kyle got in, hit them both with half and half suplexes. Bucks came back with a bulldog on Kyle by Nick. They went set up more bang for your Bucks. Osprey broke it up. Super kick by Nick on Kyle. Will hit him with an Os cutter off the top. Will hit the TK driver on Matt, but he kicked out. They hit the Coriolis on Matt, which is the move they hit to win the match last week. And then Will fired up Kyle, hit the running kick in the corner on Matt. Suplex into a brainbuster. Tony Schiavone called this one of the best tag matches in forever. And for once in his life, he wasn't exaggerating. They go outside the ring. Callis gets up from the commentary desk, distracted the ref, gave Kyle Fletcher a screwdriver. Kyle's about to hit one of the Bucks with it, and Will stops him. And Kyle's like, now, if you recall, previously when Don Callis tried to get Kyle to use a weapon, he wouldn't do it. Now he's all on board with using a weapon, but Will stopped him. So Will just politely hands a screwdriver to the ref. Here, you grab this. Kyle's yelling at him.
Excuse Matt me, hit- sir. We were trying to cheat in this match. We thought better of it. I think yeah. it
was- Matt hits Will.
I want to see Knox hit him with the screwdriver.
So Matt hit Will with the title belt. Kyle rolled him up. Nick hit Kyle with the belt, and then Kyle kicked out. That got a huge pop. And then they just hit a double super kick on Kyle and EVP trigger and got the win. So I took off a quarter star for the finish. But other than that, it was unbelievable. This match was awesome. I guarantee you Dave Meltzer's giving it 5 stars, if not
higher. Yes.
Which is fine. I don't
know. I really problem. Liked the move early where he does the somersault off the top rope and then goes into the power bomb there. I thought that was cute. I did not like the Canadian Destroyer into the hidden blade spot. I'm just like, all right, we're not selling anything. That's cool. And if you like that kind of wrestling, cool. That was your match. And I understand this is why I thought people would be very, very excited to talk about this. I didn't like the screwdriver angle. I really kind of wanted Fletcher to lose here clean, or because Ospreay couldn't get to him, even though he knew he was in trouble. And then that would be the driving force by tearing him apart. I really thought it wasn't necessary to.
Can I tell
of course,
you?
Of course, they get hit by belts.
Can I tell you the good and the bad with the screwdriver angle?
Okay.
The good
you can sell me on this. It was just one of those things.
I don't know if I will. Because I can go either way. The good is that it does set up the churn. The churn's
yes.
coming. We know it's coming. But
we knew it was sense. Coming anyways.
Well, now we know. Because I was arguing with people that thought, well, the turn won't make sense. Well, of course, now it makes sense.
Because it made sense the moment he said, I'm tired of losing the big one and I want a title.
Yeah.
If you lose the next one, that's going to break you. That sets it up. I mean, that and was...
Chris is right. They can tell a story with Fletcher going either way without the screwdriver.
Yes.
I will say the screwdriver thing, when the turn happens, Will Ospreay's an idiot. Like, and that's the problem with the screwdriver angle. He's a stupid baby face. Now, his wrestling's going to make up for that. And Matt had a good point here. If AEW can't churn Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher into draws, it's a promotional failure. Fletcher looks like a real main eventer. I agree, and I think it's already a promotional failure on the part of Ospreay, but I think that they still have a chance with Fletcher.
It was a failure when they made him the hottest baby face in the company for 2 weeks and then just beat him. Like that.
Well, it was quicker than 2 weeks, but
no. I meant Fletcher. When he cut that great babyface promo, and you're like, yes, let's get behind this. And then it started being kind of the weird amalgam of baby faces and heels in the Callis family, but it was still kind of interesting where it's like, nah, you should put the kid over the next week after that promo. And instead, he got beat. He got beat in a dumb way. It was one of those things where it's like it was kind of, they did a callback to it because it was, yeah, he ran in at 9.5 to beat the 10 count, immediately got hit with the finisher, yeah, and got pinned. And it was just dumb. And you're just like, what was the point of that then? But
I think it was promotional failure to not have Ospreay win the AEW world title at Wembley. Like, I think he should have stuck with Callis until Wembley, got his belt, and then dumped the family and said, I don't need you anymore. I got this belt, bro. And then
well, we're like just repeat. I mean, he already went through the family, so we're gonna have him go through the family again. And it's just like, why are we repeating?
There's new members now.
No, there's not.
Trent Roosh.
Trent ain't coming back for a match.
I think Mortos
anytime soon.
I think Mortos might be in there.
I think they forgot Roosh is in the Callis family.
Yeah, they got a big win on Collision. You see that, Roosh and Mortos?
Did I see that? No.
Oh yeah,
but I should. Because that team sounds awesome.
Well, it was a 10-man, at the end of the match, Roosh and Mortos were doing double team moves. It was freaking awesome.
No, that sounds great. I have it on my DVR.
They beat FDR. Okay.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, Ospreay is this big. I mean, they plugged it as he's the biggest free agent signing in wrestling. Yeah. Belt him sooner. I mean, give him the big belt sooner than later and say, this is our star, get behind our star type of thing. Yeah. I kind of agree with you. It's kind of a promotional malpractice a little bit.
Yeah. Roosh, Mortos, and Takeshita.
I'll take that as a Hoss team.
That'd be a hell of a cruise. Yeah.
You gotta kill
after the match, Kyle had words for Will while they're both recovering. Ospreay just looked dejected. And so, yeah. That was that.
You know, those words were, we're fighting the biggest heels in the company.
All right.
We'll be greeted as liberators if we use the screwdriver, you moron.
Here's the moment all our fans have been waiting for. Remarkable Renee with the conglomeration and Rocky.
Except
it's not the conglomeration and Rocky because he's now in the conglomeration. He's a member because, as you must be aware, the only requirement for being in the conglomeration is that you're not a shithead. So I guess Rocky Romero is not a shithead. And he's there to conglomerate with them. So Saturday, they're taking on Chris Jericho and the Learning Tree. And what can we expect? And Mark Briscoe says, well, you can expect the cool conglomeration shirts available now at shopaew.com.
But I appreciate the cheap plug at the top. That was great. Now I will let you continue with your imitation.
But let me explain to you why I chose to wear the classic Dem Boys t-shirts. It's because I'm feeling this energy less than 5 miles away from where the Briscoes had their very last tag team match ever. Baddest tag team of all time, Dem Boys. The conglomeration is going to give the Learning Tree a Dem Boys style ass whipping. A Jay Briscoe style ass whipping, if you will. So you all better beware, Big Bill, Brian, Keith, Chris Jericho, because we coming for you boys. And then before he can walk off, Kyle O'Reilly stops him. And I should point out, Kyle O'Reilly was not mean mugging through this promo, as he is tends to do. He was just watching in awe. But he says, Mark, what's the word of the day? And Mark says, oh, shoot. Thank you, Kyle. The word of the day is vociferous. And then Kyle gives a definition of vociferous. And then he's, that's right, noisy. Like this crowd here in New York. Like the crowd here, Grand Slam Dynamite and Grand Slam Collision. When we whip the Learning Tree upside their heads. Let's go, boys.
I maintain that Kyle O'Reilly had his lines memorized and never got his cue. I was trying to prompt it so he could say his lines.
Yeah. Yeah, and Briscoe's just, yeah, whatever. So then they leave, and Renee is standing there with Orange Cassidy and Rocky Romero, and Orange just looks at me and says, you can leave now. And Rocky's like, oh, okay. And he leaves, and then,
to me, it was great because it looked like Renee was going, aren't you going to do the thing?
Yeah.
And Rocky was like, wait, I need to do that too? Oh, okay.
And then, so he leaves, and then Renee says to Orange, oh, he'll get there.
He'll get there eventually.
And then they just stare at each other for a bit and they wave off. So it's kind of charming what they do.
I thought that was a fairly decent piece of comedy.
Yeah. I think that was the only thing we saw from young Renee Paquette on the evening.
Well,
she's probably very concerned with that her husband's running around with Mina, with Marina Shafir. So
she's got to think about Marina Shafir. I'd hang out in the back too.
So we cut to Tony Schiavone And he's on stage with a mic, calls out Nana for an update on Swerve. New York's own Prince Nana, by the way. I thought he was from like some country in Africa, but no, apparently he's from New York. So Tony Schiavone reminds us that he lost his belt to Bryan Danielson. That a week later, Hangman burned down his house. And then a week after that, they had the Lights Out Steel Cage match where he also lost. And he's a Prince Nana. He doesn't care about any of that. Good to be in New York. Who's house? And listen, Tony, I've known you for a long time. Swerve means a lot to me. Mentally, there's nothing that could stop the most dangerous man in AEW, but physically, he's not clear to come back. Fans boo that. But he's fighting hard every single day for each and every one of you fans. And before he can go on, he's interrupted by, of all people, one Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP. And he's got a mic. And he says, Tony Schiavone, pardon the interruption. Allow me to introduce myself once again to MVP. And he says, you already know that, don't you, Nana? Swerve is the most dangerous man in AEW, no question. And it's my opinion he's the most phenomenal talent to ever set foot in an AEW ring. His title run will be studied by future generations, MVP says. 9 months, he says. Victory's over. Now, get these names. Samoa Joe, Roderick Strong, Christian Cage, and Will Ospreay over that nine-month title reign that people are going to study for future generations. Anyways, I was watching. I saw all of it. I also saw everything Tony Schiavone was talking about. I saw him lose it all in. I saw his home get burned. I have to ask you, the man who beat Swerve for the title, why is he walking around smiling? The man who burned his house to the ground, why is he? And I don't know what he said because the sound cut out. I guess he swore.
I believe it was a racial epithet of some kind.
Oh, like, why is that? So and so. Okay. Yeah.
Words we are not allowed to say as Caucasians.
And I'm not gonna. I see this as a failure on his management. Management was more concerned with selling coffee and dancing for these people. Can I just take a moment and say, preach? Preach.
Have MVP. You seen the prices of that Prince Nana coffee?
Is it more or less than MJF's pickles?
It's like gourmet stuff.
You know how much? MJ's pickles were $40 a bottle.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
About the same.
I love the fact that they can gouge these people.
Bunch of carnies. Gotta love it. Get paid.
So he says, take it easy. It's not that kind of party. But I want you to do what I want you to do is when he's ready to be taken serious, please give him my business card and let him know I'll be ready to talk business. Now, one thing I want to point out, and I don't know if anybody else noticed this, and maybe I'm seeing something that wasn't there.
As you take a sip of your beverage, yes.
Mm-hmm. Number one, a couple weeks ago, they had a tag team gauntlet match, right?
Yes.
And we were wondering, why is Stokely Hathaway just hanging around out there?
Mm-hmm.
And the announcer barely mentioned it. We didn't hear anything about it. I speculated, oh, I bet she's going to bring in the Hurt Business. And we hear nothing about it. Then the following week on Collision, I don't think many people watched this. Might have been the show that 150,000 people watched. They showed Stokely Hathaway in a room watching videos of tag team matches. And there were names of different tag teams spread out, tapes and stuff. And so, you know, okay, he's going to have a tag team, Stokely Hathaway. Do you remember when Stokely Hathaway first started, what he was doing?
In AEW?
Yeah. He was walking around handing out business cards to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting.
Oh, okay.
So I think Stokely is going to be involved with MVP in some way.
He might be, but this seems the precursor to Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, so of course. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean.
And possibly Shelton Benjamin.
Because he did make a point of saying, let me know, I'll be ready to talk. And he paused and he said, business. And people pop for that.
Props. Look, I love MVP. I do. Yeah. He's one of my favorite personalities. He also almost kicked my ass once too. So,
really? Well, he's a tough.
Well, dude. Wrestling Retribution Project. I brought my improv partner. We watched the tapings, and he's doing this Chono like character called Lord of War, but he's droning on promos. And he just keeps yelling, boo, you suck, wrap it up, let's go, all the time. So during the break, MVP was a little bit pissed. But that said, props to him for defending the honor of Tully Blanchard Enterprises. Very pleased with that. I just think he's a better promo than any other manager they have on the roster right now. And that includes Nana. That includes Stokely. That includes Mark or the lawyer Sterling. You know, he's a serious guy, as you can see by dropping, you know, a little the word that we cannot say here. I think it gives a bit of an edge. The matches are going to shine because I think Swerve rejects the offer, gets the big baby face pop or not after teasing it for a couple weeks or whatever. The Shelton Swerve matches, I am here for. That Shelton Lashley Swerve. Swerve match, I am not here for at all.
They could put Keith Lee in this group when he's healthy. That might work.
You could add Jay Lethal back.
If Ricky Starks wasn't leaving, oh my God, Ricky Starks with MVP as a mouthpiece for him. Oh.
Yeah, and they could both work together. It'd be kind of like having Rude and Heenan together.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe. Yeah, MVP Bobby Shelton. Yeah, combined age of 147. I think that might be low. I actually think it might be low.
Two guys that are over 50. And
yeah, he might. Yeah, I'm sure he looked it up. At Jericho, you get 200. That sounds about right. Hopefully we don't see we don't see Bobby Lashley against Chris Jericho, but we probably will.
let's also talk just a little bit because
sure.
If Bobby Lashley, which he's rumored, I guess it was reported in the Observer that he's supposed to start
Wrestle Dream.
Okay. Wrestle Dream. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is not a guy that AEW in the first 3 years would have gone out of their way to sign.
No,
not a work rate guy, not a guy that is well respected for his work on the indies.
Older guy, a little bit injury older guy, prone.
Injury prone.
Not a great promo.
Not a great promo.
Yeah, he's a star. That's the one thing that he's got that AEW needs. And Leo Rush
is going to be in that crew.
I think Leo Rush is a mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley. I mean, we've seen that already. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And as a team, like, that'd be great. Shelton's a good worker. I don't care if he's 50.
I like Shelton. I will watch Shelton in any iteration.
Bobby Lashley will be treated like a god in AEW.
I don't know.
I think at least at first.
The more casual AEW fan types who are, you know, kind of latecomers and recognize him and aren't sneering and sniveling over a WWE guy coming into their playground, he'll be fine with that crew. It'll be the, and look, I'm using this as a pejorative, but it's just as an example. The voices of wrestling type fandoms.
Yes.
They're going to hate this.
Yeah. I wanted to amend what I said. The crowds in the arena will pop. I'm not so sure about the online fans. The vocal people that don't want WWE in their AEW.
The people who are angry about getting chocolate in their peanut butter are going to be
the people who don't like video packages are going to hate Bobby Lashley.
Yes, the people who don't like week to week builds on wrestling aren't going to like Bobby Lashley.
Would it have killed us? You know what? Instead of that Kip Sabian angle, maybe a video advertising Britt Baker's return next week.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, but whatever.
Especially since you could make the hometown push for tickets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, you know what? And Will Ospreay's wrestling to catch Ricochet, in case you forgot, and they didn't bother to tell us hardly at all tonight. I think they mentioned it during that tag team match. But we got a video of Jack Perry's bus going over the bridge in New York, which was interesting because they taped his match before the show. So if the crowd didn't pop, that's probably why. Maybe they thought he was leaving.
I liked the promo video for what it was, but it's just like it doesn't draw anybody to Collision.
I don't understand this angle with the bus.
Open challenge, so it's like, ooh, who amongst our vast roster are we going to bring out there to lose to Jack Perry as opposed to...
My prediction was Dustin Rhodes. I know it's already been taped. I don't know
who it was. I was thinking Cardona. Again,
New York, that would work.
Another TNT title match, but because he's ready to come back, I think.
If people know and want to put it in the chat, they can. I won't read it.
That would also be a spot, like, if Eddie Kingston were available, I'd bring him back in New York, but
I don't think
not.
He is.
Yeah. I don't think he is either, but it's one of those things, like, why not just announce his opponent during the show of Dynamite to then hype it? Because
it's probably not anything special.
Yeah, John Cruz.
Because they did announce the open challenge for the six-man titles, and it is not anything anybody's going to want to pay to watch. John says somebody that I don't know if he's just guessing or if that's who it actually was. That wouldn't surprise me at all, actually. Do you see his comment?
Okay.
I won't spoil it in case it is the one, but
that's kind of the level of.
Yeah.
And that would pop that crowd.
That would pop the crowd. And, yeah, the average viewer at home that isn't watching anyways isn't going to care that much about it.
Oh, look, a guy who never wins.
Yeah. Against the possibly future AEW World Champion, which, God, I hate that, but it's probably happening. So, next up, Yuka Saka Sakazaki versus Mariah May for the women's title. And this, I think, after that Nana thing and after the MVP debut and that awesome tag team match, I think people might have taken a break during this match and gone to get concessions. Or
I enjoyed it because I like Yuka Sakazaki.
Yeah. So Yuka dived on Mariah during her entrance, and then they got in the ring and the crowd was dead. And then Mariah May didn't help matters by beating the shit out of Yuka for most of the match. And then eventually she got some win. She got some offense in near the end, and then they were going back and forth a bit. They did one spot actually, and it was fairly early on, which they could tell the crowd was dead. So I thought, okay, well, as soon as they started the spot, I'm like, oh, this is going to turn the crowd around, because they just start slapping each other, and that always works.
Yeah,
they hit, and then eventually the slaps start getting hotter, harder, and harder and harder, and they did it, and it didn't work. And I was like, okay, these fans don't care about this match. Like that, yeah, that was too bad. They had a fine match. Eventually, Yuka hit a thrust kick, and then she hit a Northern Lights bomb. She went to the top for the Magical Girl Splash, but Mariah got her knees up, hit a knee to the head, Storm Zero, and got the win. And that was that. It was an average match. Didn't even go through a break. And
it's just funny because on commentary they're putting out, you know, Yuka's undefeated in singles this year, and it didn't feel like it was a.
I don't think she's wrestled in singles this year. Hook and Brian Zaleem, occasional co-host on the show, pointed out that Hook and Mariah could have swapped positions on the card. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, put Hook in the dead spot, especially if he's leaving. Which again, I don't know anything. I'm just completely speculating, and I'm sure if I'm wrong, people are going to tell me. So after the match, Mariah made out with the belt, and she was about to lay out Mina, but who should make the save but Willow? And Tony Schiavone says, well, as you all know, she and Yuka are really big friends.
Okay. I did not know that.
No, I didn't. But then...
Especially since it was Aminata who had teamed with Yuka the previous week.
And they're great friends, too. No, it was Aminata that teamed with Willow, I think.
No, right? I was saying the D Mariah versus Yuka... Queen Aminata.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm a last week historian. I should know these things.
So then Mina Shirakawa's music hits, and Willow's distracted. So Mariah hits her with the belt, and she runs outside the ring, picked up Mina, starts twirling around. She's all happy. Mina's acting like she doesn't know what's going on. I think shenanigans are up. I think Mina knew exactly what she was doing, because Mina always knows exactly what she's doing. And this just ended all confused. Everyone
that vest was holding on for dear life too.
Great outfit. Yeah. The acting was silly.
I don't know if she knew what was going on, because I still think the match is Mariah and Mina. I think it was just one of those things where it was just bad acting for a while.
Could be, or
we're going to ask the question: whose side is she on? And all this.
And now we're going to have the same thing we had with Mina and Tony.
Yeah.
Except we're probably going to bring Tony back and just redo the whole thing again.
I think so.
Yeah.
Which and Mina eventually joins or whatever. Yeah.
Mariah, probably.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So we got the main event. John Moxley and Darby Allin. And they made a point here to tell us that pay-per-view is moving. So it's going to be available everywhere it is now except for BR Live. And then I imagine at some point it'll be added to Max. But we don't know that yet because no deal is signed. 13 episodes of Dynamite left, by the way, on this deal. They haven't announced a new deal yet. I'm pretty sure
maybe Zaslav will cancel it.
Now this show's gonna, you know, I will predict this show's gonna do a really good rating because they built it up for a long time and they had a great show. And
if it doesn't, I know Dave's excuse.
What, Caitlin Clark?
No, well, Caitlin Clark and also Kamala Harris on MSNBC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So there's possibility. Well, it was
like 7 to 8. I don't know. So maybe.
But I will say 7.75, maybe like a 0.28, something like that. So write that down.
By the way, congratulations to the WNBA on a great season. We'll see you next year.
What? Oh, did Caitlin get eliminated?
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone's done. yeah. This match.
David Stern rolling in his grave because he would have fixed that series.
I wrote two full paragraphs on this, and I just want to ask you, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of this match?
I liked it. I just didn't understand why Darby didn't win. I mean,
the match was
booked. Let's just start with this. Darby killed himself in this match.
Yes.
Absolutely slaughtered himself for my pleasure. And Moxley
sleepwalked through it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
At like, times, literally, they even pointed out on commentary, he went to have a seat outside the ring in a chair, and then he gets hit with a drop kick.
Here's how that discussion went. I'm going to do all right, kid. I'll walk around and watch you.
Yeah. And Darby's jumping around, and Mox would just step out of the way like he's Samoa Joe, you know, on that spot, like almost.
He laid his way through this match.
And his selling was comical.
Yes.
At times. Yes. Yeah. Like he was doing the flail.
It felt like a slight burial in some ways.
Almost like the promo that
Moxley, I think about it. Yeah.
The promo that Moxley cut on Darby where he told him you're not ready and you're a joke and this and that and the other thing. Almost like he wrestled the match to prove his point that he made in the promo.
I'm going to prove to you I'm not a joke. Goes out there. It's treated like himself. A joke.
So Darby did everything. He was bleeding from his mouth. Like, seconds into this match, I don't exactly know what happened. I might have missed something, or you know, maybe just bit his tongue. I don't know, but
it was a blood capsule.
It might have been, but it looked real.
No, like, it looked great.
Yeah, but then it kind of went away. So I mean, yeah, you might be right. It's probably a thing, but he just did everything, and he was just killing himself. And at one point, they pulled Moxley got Marina to pull the mats, and she did like two layers of them. Like, you know, normally they'll just do the one and have the nice. So they had enough. You could have played a basketball game on the hard court that they had there. And Darby did a couple moves onto this hard court. Moxley didn't do anything into it. Moxley took a couple bumps in the turnbuckle. One spot where Darby jammed Moxley's arm into the turnbuckle. But he just kind of hit it a couple times and didn't really do anything. And then Marina just pulled it out. So it's kind of like they might as well not even have done it.
Marina doing an effective baby doll impression, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because at times, like, there's one spot where like, they're fighting on the top rope. And Marina just gets up onto the ring apron. And she stares at them.
No, that was the setup for the end of the match. That's stupid.
And then she just stepped down. I was like, okay, because then they called it a reversal, but Moxley just hit him with a Death Rider from the top rope. Like, I don't know what they thought he was reversing, but
he was reversing the superplex that Darby was going for.
That whole thing, that super, like, that spot was like 2 minutes earlier. Like, he didn't even have the
superplex. Darby was on the rope setting up for the superplex, and Mox reversed it into the death.
Okay, maybe I missed that then. Yeah, because look like he was trying to set up that superplex for a long time. Fans at different points of this match were chanting, "You can't kill him," which was good. Yes. But then he did.
Yes, and then he died.
Yeah. So, you know, and Darby's selling was great. Although I'm not sure how much it was actually selling. Like one point when he was like, Moxley had the rear naked choke on and he was like foaming at the mouth and his eyes were glazed and the foam at the mouth looked real. Like I watched fights.
Like the dive onto the floor spot. All that was missing was Mox doing the Samoa Joe walk away.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like he just stepped away
occasionally.
Okay, and then he hit him, and then right immediately after, Moxley picks him up and throws him into the steps. Like, this was like that match he had with Christian in Seattle last year, similar in a lot of ways. And he lost that one too.
Put Curry's message on here because I'm going to answer it right now.
Okay.
Jeff, why should Darby should win? I speak Curry head. Darby should have won because that's the story we've been telling on television. Mm-hmm. When he won, look, he wins, he gets a TNT title shot. He then, like two nights later, wins a battle royal or whatever the hell that thing was for a world title shot.
Okay. At this show.
It was the setup for this entire show was going to be him and Danielson.
Yeah.
And then we decide to pivot off of that because Moxley's being a big bully and calling him a joke. But who is Darby Allin? Darby Allin is one of the pillars of AEW. He's one of your next generation talents. And he hasn't held a title in a long, long time. The tag team titles, I guess, but a singles title in a long, long time. And he is part of a new statement about your company, which is kind of floundering a little bit and is getting a new TV deal for hopefully a little bit of buzz in the old newspapers and trades. So we've told this story, you know, after he loses his TNT title shot in that. He earns the battle royal shot. He is called a joke. He is called a clown. He is put down by one of your big bads in the company. Here's your Rudy moment after getting screwed, or actually, no, after Darby voluntarily says, yeah, I'll put my title shot on the line.
Yep. Voluntarily.
It makes him look stupid if he doesn't win.
Yes.
He looks like a dummy right now for, oh no, I'll put my title shot on because I'll fight anybody anywhere. And then he throws himself all around the ring for Moxley doing nothing. Moxley pins him 1, 2, 3.
Now, Kevin Ely, host of The Boom, and he does the post pay per view shows with Jeremy Finestone, more convinced than ever that Darby is Tony's guy in 2025. This match felt a little like that time Mox squashed Punk to set up the rematch. I don't know about that last part, but I will totally agree with the first one. I actually think this is Tony's plan. I just think it's a dumb plan.
I mean, it's not going to be Wembley, I don't think.
I think
Darby gets crowned before Will Ospreay?
Probably.
No.
I think Darby is going to, Moxley's going to beat Danielson for the title, and then Darby's probably going to challenge him at WrestleDream, probably for the next show, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
But I think that they're just overthinking it.
I think that's dumb.
They just overthinking it like they did with Danielson, yes, and Nigel. Just Darby beats Mox. Then Darby beats Danielson. Darby's the champion. Then if you want to do your Mox-Darby feud, that's the perfect time to do
it. And not just that, it's better symbolism because he's beaten two of the ex-big WWE guys.
Exactly. Yeah, Darby, hey, that, you know what? That's a good bet. Darby winning the title of Grand Slam Australia. Jason says Darby looking stupid regardless of winning or losing. Losing was just the cherry on top.
All right, but fine.
Jason said that Darby, that Mox winning was the only solution. So Darby at Revolution, he's getting the title before Ospreay. Yeah, probably. I think Will might.
You think he loses the title to Ospreay then at all? Well, it's not Wembley; it's Texas, isn't it? So screw that.
No, Will will probably win it.
Will's winning a Grand Slam Australia. He's Australian.
No. Who lives? Will's in not London. Australian.
Yeah, he is. He's an Australian who lives in London.
No, he's isn't not. He?
No. Or did he go the other way? Is he a Londoner that went to Australia?
Maybe. I think he's. Just
it's
a
one
Londoner.
Of the two. Look, it's a penal colony. I don't care about Australia.
So anyways, I wrote down after the match, okay, I guess it's going to be Moxley versus Danielson at WrestleDream. Then Bryan Danielson in a hoodie hits the ring. Why was he wearing a hoodie? I don't know.
To disguise himself.
Because Moxley did it when he attacked him. And he attacked him with a tie. Because, of course, he did that to Justin Roberts and got fired from WWE. So that's why he had to do it here. Justin Roberts probably pissed his pants watching this.
PTSD.
And Marina jumps on his back, so she's got a choke on Danielson while Danielson's choking Moxley, and neither one of them are giving up. And then out comes Claudio and Pac, and they pulled off Danielson. And then who should make the save? Wheeler Yuta? Nope.
No.
No. Jeff Jarrett?
No.
No. Private Party and Commander. Because, of course, they got laid out. You remember that angle where Moxley destroyed Mark Quinn's hand with a hammer and we weren't...
Yeah, they just wrapped it in something and he's using it to punch people.
Yeah, yeah. So he's fine.
Not even doing an Iron Mike Sharp Bob Orton deal.
No, no.
Which is what I recommend.
And BCC just beat the shit out of him again here. Then Danielson was signaling for the yes kicks, but then Moxley got pulled out of the ring. And someone was speaking. And at first I didn't realize it because the camera was all over the place. And for whatever reason, I didn't recognize Danielson's voice because he wasn't really talking right into the mic. But it was Danielson. But the crowd, the cameraman did a terrible job of shooting this because at first, like, you didn't even see who it was. But eventually he got the shot. And he said, Mox, you said you wanted war. Well, I declare war. Here's the thing. You want a shot at my AEW World Championship? You got it. Me and you at Wrestle Dream, and I'm going to kick your... And the sound kicked off, but I can only assume he said, your fucking head in.
Yes.
And they showed Moxley, and Moxley was he scared of Danielson's words?
No, he was laughing it up.
He was laughing his ass off. He got exactly what he wanted. Final Countdown's playing, and here's where Tony Schiavone says, Tony Khan has confirmed that Private Party and Commander have accepted the open challenge for the Trios title at Collision. We're also going to see a Jack Perry open challenge, Learning Tree against the Conglomeration, Okada against Sammy Guevara in an eliminator match for the Continental title, Jeff Jarrett versus Hangman in a lumberjack strap match. And I should point out here, other than the Private Party and Commander against BCC, and I think the Jack Perry open challenge, they stopped reading off these matches at that point. So they just were putting them up on the screen. So if you churned off the channel, if you were only paying attention to what was in the ring and weren't reading the graphics, you didn't see any of this. Next week on Dynamite, Will Ospreay versus Ricochet for the international title. And as I said earlier, Serena Deeb versus Britt Baker making her triumphant return in Pittsburgh, pointed out as the closing credits were rolling on Dynamite. So how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I just think it's a bad plan because I get this feeling that they're going to have Moxley cheat to beat Danielson in at Wrestle Dream, and then he leaves that way, as opposed to the better story of Danielson putting over one of the young kids clean and then going away for a while and coming back. It seems short-sighted to me, because you can make somebody beating Bryan Danielson for that title.
Yeah, and Moxley's already made.
And Moxley's made, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And you could make Darby by having him beat Moxley and Danielson. It'd be like Jericho beating Rock and Austin.
Now, I don't know if Darby would be a good face of the company type of champion. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sold on that necessarily, but it's like, well, it's worth a shot.
I do like him as champion because he's always going to be vulnerable for a loss.
Yes. No, I like him as that champion thing. As face of the company, send him out to do interviews. I don't know, because it's one of those things where people would look at him and go, you're a wrestler kind of a thing.
But they might look at him and say, you're cool.
Yeah, that could be it too. No, if you put him in certain alternative venues and stuff like that, if you had him hit,
like, I think the days of people looking at wrestlers and, like, you know, expecting him to look like The Rock are kind of done. Like, you look at Bryan Danielson.
No. But I mean, like, morning shows and stuff like that. Yes, they still think that way. They don't know anything about wrestling. They don't know. I mean, they.
How does Adam Cole come off on those things?
They piss on wrestling, to be honest with you. He comes off as tiny.
Okay. I don't watch that shit, so I don't know.
I don't either, but you see clips and you kind of watch and then, you know, they're like going, well, you know, I'm, you know.
I could take
like,
you.
I've seen the occasional co-star just kind of saying, you know, you're about as big as him. He should go in the ring or something like that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, it just seems like a lost opportunity to me. I don't.
Well, I would say the difference between Darby and Ray, Kevin, and Kevin's comment was Darby works because he's got the Ray thing where he's so small. He's small, but he wrestles like he isn't. Like he wrests, like if you actually watch his matches, like he's like the one guy who like everything he does looks believable. Like he looks like he's killing himself. He looks like he's using his yes. body as a weapon to kill other people.
Ray had more credibility like, because he was prestigious as a luchador.
He's using his speed and his technique.
He throws his body at people is what he does. I mean,
Darby, Darby does. Whereas Ray is more of like using the technique of lucha and using like the aerial moves and his kicks and everything. Whereas Darby is just like, I'm going to throw myself at you and I'm going to hurt you.
That's why I like Darby a little bit better, to be honest.
Part of why I didn't like this match though was because Moxley wasn't really selling it.
Right.
And it works better when they're actually selling it. So that's why like Darby and Joe work great, because Joe will do the stuff that Moxley was doing here and then he'll start selling. And that's when the match gets really good. Lance Archer has had great matches with Darby because he knows when and where to sell. Brian Cage has great matches with Darby's for the same reason. So, we'll see. Darby's going to come back. Darby's going to be fine. Darby is, you know, unbeatable until he, like, I think the only guy that can end Darby is Darby. One point, Darby's going to do something stupid and not like, you know, like, not like, like he's going to hurt himself probably at some point, like, you know, and hopefully he doesn't. I mean, it's been 5 years, knock on wood, you know, just the one spot through the glass where he kind of hurt himself a little bit. Right. Or no, he hurt his, shattered his ankle or something. Right. And then he got hit by a bus and then he wrestled like 2 weeks later.
No, the 2 weeks later was when he went through the glass.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then he took like 3 months off.
Yeah.
See, the problem here is like that Punk thing. If this match went 3 minutes, yeah, that'd be like, I totally agree. But they went like 15.
Like if that first move had killed him, when he just hit the leg and Duffy was out. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, and everyone's like, what? Yeah, then
if we get some stuff with Darby, like kind of like, you know,
training and montages with Sting.
Not even that, just kind of doubting himself and you know, like, you know, I'd be into that. You know, kind of like a long group version therapy
with Tony D from NXT. Sure.
Well, no, a better version of what they did, like that. You know, where that thing was so stupid. Tony D'Angelo doing Rocky, and Adriana Rizzo.
No, I need Darby to become a mafioso for about 3 weeks. That'll be great.
But no, I'd be into that. Redemption story for Darby. Hey, sign me up. You know, so then if that's the case, then we see Darby challenge Moxley at the end of Wrestle Dream after he beats Danielson. Now watch Danielson just beat Mox. Might happen. But no,
you never know.
What I had heard was the reason that this Nigel Danielson match kind of came out of nowhere was because I think that they got an end date on Danielson and they wanted to get this Nigel match in.
That's perfectly acceptable. Yeah,
so they kind of have to. And in retrospect, maybe they probably would have rather done it at Wembley, but you know, they did here. So Kevin says, I've had enough of heroes doubting themselves for a while.
I agree.
Yeah. But it's, I think it's part of AEW's identity almost. Like, you know,
emo like kids.
Yeah. Hangman. Yeah. So I thought, we all thought Hangman was going to come out and interrupt Nana, but we got MVP instead. But remember when Hangman said he was going to take out anybody that supported Swerve? Wouldn't that be Nana?
Be MVP now.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we're all off here and maybe MVP's going to end up with Hangman.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Maybe they're going to do a double turn and Hangman's going to be the babyface. Could do that.
Let's quit while we're ahead.
All right. So yeah, that's it. You know what? I said we might have a short show and we actually went almost as long as we normally do. So I think we're done. Cool. Next week, it's the 5-year anniversary show. So we will have a very special show next week.
Will we?
No.
All your great memories, bring them for 5 years of AEW. The highs, the lows, the tears, the sadness, the happiness.
Yeah. I'm going to watch every episode of Dynamite from October 2nd, 2019 until September 25th, 2024, and I'll report back to you next week with the highlights.
Okay.
All right. I'm not doing that. Okay, so Jeff, get your plugs in.
You can follow me on X at CrapGame13. I do a show called Shake Them Ropes over on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network this week. I don't know. Is there any news that's dropped? Because I'm not watching that Mr. McMahon documentary. And Chris hasn't gotten to me with Vader Club, even though he swore to me he would. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk this show. We'll talk Raw. We'll talk NXT. And who's going to win next week? Because I think NXT beats them next week, but we'll see. And that'll drop sometime between Thursday and Saturday.
You mean 2 weeks from now, Title Tuesday?
Yeah, well, whenever they're on CW.
Yeah.
Is it two weeks? I thought it was next week.
Well, no, they start next week on CW, and the following week they're head-to-head on the same night.
Oh, okay. Well, that too.
Yeah. So.
But that'll drop in your podcatchers between Thursday and Saturday. And please give us a listen. Thank you.
All right. And me, I'm Paul Ace Fontaine on X. And you can obviously listen to this show and you can chat with me in the Discord. Send gg@fightgamemedia.com an email and you can get in there. And fightgamemedia.com is where all of our writing is. And Garrett's got a bunch of stuff about the McMahon documentary. I'm like Jeff. I will watch it at some point, but I'm in no hurry.
An Observer subscriber. I've heard all this crap.
I just watched the Junkyard Dog Dark Side. So that's how far behind I am on wrestling documentaries. There's a lot of them and I like them all. So I take my time. On Netflix, I'm currently watching House of Cards, believe it or not. So trying to get through that before they take it away. Good show. As long as you forget about Kevin Spacey being an awful person. Kind of like me watching WWE and Vince McMahon. So four. Jeff Hawkins, I'm Paul Fontaine, and this has been... Oh, yes, the Dump Matamoto series is better than McMahon series. Absolutely. Watch that on Netflix. This has been the Dynamite Show.
He does this even in the intro, every time.